can't touch me, man. Beautiful, baby. Feel me? Feel me?
I won't stop, can't be moved, and I don't lose. I won't stop, can't be moved, and I don't lose. I won't stop, can't be moved.
Yeah, it can't touch me, man. Beautiful, baby. Yeah, it can't touch me, man. Beautiful, baby. Feel me? Feel me?
Good morning, one and all, and welcome to another edition of the Backstretch Podcast. I'm Zoe Cabman, joined by the one and only Jeffrey Siegel. And Jeff, before we go any further, I learned some very sad news this morning. The passing of horseman Jerry Dilger in Lexington, Kentucky. A dear friend of mine, a dear friend of many people in the horse racing industry. He will be missed. He's survived by his wife, Erin, his three children, and an awful lot of people that knew Jerry. Jerry never had a bad day. I don't know if you'd ever met him, but if you'd met him, you would have loved him.
I did not meet him. I have never had the pleasure of meeting him, but you did a lot of work with him in the sales, is that correct?
Yeah, Jerry had a farm. Dromolan Farm will continue operating as of now. And just a great guy. Came over here stateside in 1978 and never left. He was a guy who liked to have a pint. You could almost see him sitting with a Bud Light right now, up there looking down on him. Good guy. Responsible for a Kentucky Derby winner in breeding with Mike Ryan, Always Dreaming. Hot Dixie Chick, also responsible. Had some hand in there with Nyquist as well. So just a tremendous guy who will most definitely be missed.
So sad news there, but we have so much to talk about. I mean, it's like it's March Madness for basketball. It's March Madness for horse racing as well. Musical jockeys, agents, and horses that didn't run that should have. Want to talk about what happened overseas. Where do we start? Well, I guess we can start with the latest. How about we'll do it from most recent on back. And this kind of caught me as a surprise, Zoe. Kieran McLaughlin. Now, he has been a long time, very highly successful trainer. Used to work for Wayne Lucas and went out on his own. And he is no longer going to be a trainer. In fact, he's going back to being a jockey's agent. He's taking over Luis Saez's book. And the only thing I can say about that is he's about 2 weeks too late on that. But what do you think about that? I mean,
Saez's longtime agent is retiring. He's done a great job for him for many, many years. And Kieran used to be a jock's agent. A lot was made earlier last year about all the fines that he had got through the labor board in New York. He was cited as saying he was going to move his whole string to Kentucky because it's cheaper working conditions. And I think this just came up and Kieran thought, well, you know what? Not getting any younger. I drive around in my golf cart, pretty healthy. Why not? Like, what have I got to lose? I've done everything. I've trained all of these winners, thousands of graded stakes winners. Why not? You know, I had a really interesting conversation with him last year leading up to the Derby in Kentucky. And we were talking about Mike Smith picking up a mount. And he's like, you know, I used to be an agent. I'd have done this and this. And you got to be tough and you've got to do this. And I just saw this side of Kieran that I'd actually not seen before. And it begs me to wonder if this may have been something that he's been pondering for a while.
It could have been. And as you mentioned, he used to have the late Chris Antley. He took some time off to be his agent. Again, training for Godolphin, very successful. I'll never forget, he made me a lot of money one day. And I don't usually get, like to get touted by trainers because my theory has always been I know more about your horse than you do, or at least I know how he fits with the other horses, you know, in the same race. But I saw him the morning of the Breeders' Cup, the year that Invasor was running, and I was talking about something else, and just like out of courtesy, I said, well, what about Invasor? And I don't think I've ever remember hearing a trainer who was more bullish on a horse's chances, and he laid out the reasons why. And I said, talk me into it, you know.
And, you know, that's what makes a good agent as well. Yeah. You have to know where to put your horses.
Right.
He's a big sheets guy. Him and Ron Anderson have been friends for years.
Sure.
So these are the people that know where horses should be going. And if you're a good handicapper, and I do believe that Kieran is, he's going to fit right in. So good luck to Kieran McLaughlin and Louis Sires. Of course, Louis having taken down the Saudi World Cup at the weekend aboard Maximum Security, which is your segue right there. What did we learn?
Well, I don't think we learned that Maximum Security is one heck of a racehorse.
We already knew that.
I think we figured that out. But the more he piles up these wins, and of course, he won this race in Saudi Arabia, in a race in which I thought he might look like he was going to finish off the board at the quarter pole, and he stayed on like a quality class horse that he is. But after having won that race and before that, the Cigar Mile and the Bold Ruler, Haskell, I think the memory of his defeat, and that's in quotes, in the Kentucky Derby is faded into oblivion. And I thought about this, Zoe, because after he won this race in Saudi Arabia, I thought the natural plan was to then hop over to run in Dubai in the Dubai World Cup. And he's not going to do that. And I think one of the reasons why he's not going to do that is because I believe the connections and obviously service thinking that I don't think this horse can run back that quick. And a reason why I bring that up is because if he had won the Kentucky Derby and his number, he did finish first, his number had stayed up, the pressure would have been to run him back in 2 weeks in the Preakness.
We've talked about that.
And then in the Belmont, and that might have completely ruined him for life, you know. So maybe things have a way of working out, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And we now have a horse who has finished first in all but one race in his career. You know, the maiden $16,000 start notwithstanding, he is maybe one of the better older horses we've seen in the last 20 years. I mean, there have been some great horses, but I was thinking comparing him to, say, Gunrunner and those kind of horses who got better later on. He's been great from the start. And I just, you have to hand it to service and the way he's trained this horse, if you can call what he's doing with him training him. And he goes out there and because he doesn't train him. I think he's had two works.
I think that's the key to him. You know. I really do. And I can understand them not wanting to run him back. He laid his heart on the line there and he's got a big one.
Well, yeah. I mean, he showed the quality and the courage and the reserve energy that only great horses have. And I am a huge fan of his. And obviously, Coolmore is going to give him his best chance eventually to stand a stud. I guess they'll probably give him a time off, bring him back in the midsummer or late, early fall, and then try to win a Breeders' Cup. He hadn't done that yet. But I was just blown away, and I was actually blown away by Midnight Bisou's performance as well. We have to talk about her. You go back and watch the video if you can on YouTube or wherever you can find it.
We have it at XBTV.
We have it at XBTV. Okay, that's where to find it then.
There you go.
You can watch, and I think at the 3/8 pole, or whatever passed for the 3/8 pole on that track, she looked like she was in deep water. I mean, she was down in the inside, taking all that sand in her face. She had one or two horses beat. And for her to rally as bravely as she did, to me, that was the best race that she ever ran in her life. And Midnight Bisou, who was also going to bypass the Dubai World Cup and coming back here with, obviously, the year-end goal being the Breeders' Cup. So it's good that not only the Americans went back there and did so well, but it's good that they're coming back and we get to enjoy them again.
And I got a chance to have a long chat to Mike Smith this morning, and I'll lead off with talking about how he felt Midnight Bisou fared. And he said he was so proud when he crossed the finish line of his filly's effort. He said the kickback there was minimal. He said on Friday they put water on the track for the Jocks Challenge. He won 2 of 4. He said they didn't water that track once Saturday night, not one time. He said she handled the track beautifully. The kickback came back a little bit more, but he said it was feathery. It's got some natural materials, and it didn't come back hard or fast or anything like that. He said she handled it. He said she was kind of looking at the TV truck that was to the inside on the inside rail because they run a car around with the TV cameras on it.
Yes.
And so she was like leaning out a little bit from that, and he was hitting her right-handed just to get her to go up the inside. He did, however, say that Louis Sires came down to meet him with Maximum Security because he saw that she was coming up the rail. he didn't think he could ever go buy Maximum Security. He's like, that's a good horse. I'm like, do you think if you'd have gone around again, could you have got by him? He goes, I really don't think so. He said he was just so darn proud of Midnight Bisou.
Well, she ran fantastic as well.
She needs time after
she needs
races.
Time. And so who is going to Dubai? I guess Mucho Gusto is headed his way. And I want to make a point about Mucho Gusto, because I think if it's a good thing, you can't, at least I don't know how to do this. Maybe you can do that with, Betfair or somebody. I don't know. But you, the top of the stretch, who didn't think Mucho Gusto wasn't going to win that race?
Right.
And it turns out that he kind of hit a wall in the final furlong, drifted out, kind of took Maximum Security's path, and ended up finishing fourth. If Mucho Gusto, and I've said this before, you cannot go to the front with him. I mean, he may want to go to the front, but you have to grab him and settle him and get him behind horses if you can. Give him the same kind of trip that he got in the Pegasus World Cup, and I think if he had gotten that kind of trip, it might have been a horse race.
We also don't know the instructions that
he
received.
No, we don't. I'm not blaming the jockey. I'm just saying is that's what whoever was responsible for putting that horse on the lead doesn't know Mucho Gusto. But he ran incredibly well. We mentioned that he's going to be maybe the one to beat if he doesn't react off this hard race that he just had in Dubai. And then I don't know if we'll ever see him again, because Bob Baffert was the trainer and will be the trainer, but I don't think he's coming back. He's now owned by Middle Eastern Connections.
He is. So he'll stay over there at least for Dubai, and then we'll see. But he tries. He's a gutsy little horse. He really is.
Well, a couple other horses coming out of the race.
Tacitus,
he's headed. He ran, I thought, reasonably well. I mean, right. He's not ever going to be good enough to be a great horse, but I'm not so sure how many great horses are going to be in the Dubai World Cup. And then we have to talk about Mackenzie. What in the world happened to him?
There was a lot of jostling. There was an awful lot of bumping around. Like Mike Smith said, if Midnight Bisou got off to a flyer, he was going to go. But he had a feeling that the other guys were all going. He said they all went and went crazy, and the ones behind him just got jostled. He said they were screaming and yelling. The stewards never looked at any of that going into the first turn. He said he just never fired.
Well, Mackenzie,
he's either really good or really bad.
Well,
right?
He did the same thing. Remember, he got jostled around in the Breeders' Cup as a 3-year-old.
And he doesn't like it.
He just kind of waved the white flag and got beat 25 lengths there. So he's the kind of horse, Mackenzie, and if you look at his record, he is pretty consistent. I'll give him credit for that. But when things don't go his way, he don't even want to. He don't want to part. He right. just want to take his ball and go home. And he's taking his ball and he's coming back here. And I would imagine, I don't know whether the Met Mile would be a logical spot for him, a race that he probably could have won last year, but I still think he's a dynamite horse, and I hope that he can rebound and bounce back and do his best work here.
I don't think it's probably going to take him that long to rebound, because he was such a fresh horse going over there. Bob had given him the time. He went over there, barely ran at all. He's just got to, have no problem shipping back. I don't think he's going to take the usual 90 days to recover
from the
trip.
I wouldn't think so. Mike Smith is recovering from, his wallet's recovering. A little lighter in the wallet.
Never in his wallet to begin with.
Well, he was counting his money galloping out, I can promise you. He says, now what do I get for running second? I get 10%, and that's $20 million. I think the calculator was working. Well, he's not getting anywhere near that, Zoe, because he was suspended for 9 days. And as part of the suspension, he doesn't get his full commission for running second in a $20 million race, something that I don't even think he found out about until he got back here. What do you think about that? Because as an ex-rider, that's gotta be a little tough to take.
Those are the rules going in. So you know the rules. I'm not sure anyone quite really looked into the rules.
All right, first of all, what did he do? What did he do to cause the suspension?
They counted 14 strikes.
With the whip.
The number was 10.
Right.
So Mike got 8 days, and he got an extra day for not weighing in for the jockey's challenge the day before, when he didn't realize he finished fifth. And apparently, I had a good chat to Mike this morning. The steward said, go one way, and he went a different way. He didn't know where he was going. So that was the extra day. So then he gets 8 days for a whip ban. And then he has to forfeit 60% of $350,000, $210,000.
Right.
He still got paid. He got an extra $30,000 for winning the Jockey Challenge. Each one of those Jockey Challenge races he won was $400,000. Okay. So it's not like Mike Smith didn't get paid, but if anyone was wanting to complain about it, say, oh, you got fined 60% of $2,000, no one's really going to bat an eye, right, are they right. really? I mean,
no,
they're not going to bat an eye. But because it's such a big number, $210,000, what Mike Smith was that he thought the penalty was just the 8 days, a little bit too much considering we only race 3 days a week here, which is about a month
right.
off. Mm-hmm. Plus, over there in Saudi, if you get more than 8 days, you are not permitted to ride in designated races. So he gets 9. Now, if they uphold that here, he's screwed.
So
it means he doesn't ride for a month anywhere.
So as we are recording this podcast, we don't know if he's going to be able to even ride Saturday, right?
He said he can ride Saturday.
He can.
He's going to said he can ride Saturday, all and right. they're trying to figure something out moving forward. But
okay.
as of now, if they hold it up, he cannot ride in the designated races.
Okay. I think I read.
Things can change.
I read Ortiz also got suspended too.
so he's trying to work something out because he's gotten in with the ownership group that yeah. owns Mucho Gusto.
Okay.
So they're trying to help him out there. If they help him out, they maybe help Mike right. Smith out. So I don't know.
I'm not. I mean, he was still able to fly home first class, though. He had enough money that he.
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he'll be.
That's
okay.
good enough. All right. We've got that happened last week, and also we want to jump ahead and start talking Derby because of the Derby division. There was a very significant race last Saturday. Zoe, the Fountain of Youth, the horse that I thought was going to win it was Chance It. They decided, Safi Joseph decided he did not want to run from the extreme outside post instead. And we talked about that like last week, and I asked you if you thought he would run.
Maybe he was listening to you.
Well, I don't know. And you said that you would have stayed in the race. And I said to myself, I would have also. The race was run. Ete Indian won the race by 8.5 lengths.
From
the 11 hole. After the race, they said, well, we're not second-guessing ourselves. We would have done it again. I wouldn't have done it again. I would have gone out there and just sat second. Here's another thing about that. First of all, I think the way the race came up, I think he could have beaten Ete Indian. You don't know for sure, but I don't think ground loss would have beaten him. Second of all, doesn't this kind of mess up the timing now? Because they lose their rider, Tyler Gaffney, who's going to riding out here, so you got to pick up a new rider. I think it's Paco Lopez, right?
Okay.
Second of all, now that you miss this race, you can't really come back in the Florida Derby. You got maybe coming back the week after. Then you're bumping up against the Derby. I don't know.
Well, I've got to say one thing.
I think he would have.
Laurent Giroux found his new Derby horse, Mr. Monomoy, off the Derby trail
right
now. He was a winning rider of the Risen Star aboard
right.
him. The job that he did leaving the gate won the race. That was phenomenal, breaking that quick. It's like a quarter horse.
Exactly.
Even from the
gate. Well, you have
to
do
it. Two in front from the gate.
I always say you either have to bust out and go or grab and take back. You can't get caught in no man's land. Well, at the Indian, busted out, went, set legitimate fractions, put away the speed, won by 8.5 lengths. The buyer number was highly legitimate, high 90s. I don't know how far he wants to run. He's actually bred to be a grass horse, being by Summer Front.
The progeny of Summer Front have been running very well on the dirt, Siegel.
And I imagine Summerfront was by Warfront, right? So, hey, there you have it. Warfront was never ran on grass, by
no,
the way.
Good.
He was a dirt horse. So there's a chance that Ete Indian is going to be for real. What he does, of course, is make Tis the Law look even better.
There you go.
Tis the Law drowned Ete Indian when they met at Gulfstream Park earlier.
What about him ducking out of the wire?
You know, I don't know.
It looked like he was
maybe,
leaning
yeah, right.
out.
No, no,
I don't
that's
know
a
if
no, no,
ducked
no,
or if,
yeah.
he was if he was leaning out. That's
right.
not generally a wonderful sign.
Not really. No, no, I have my doubts whether he's a mile and quarter horse. Don't give me.
I've not seen him doing that.
Yeah.
I think
and
he had plenty of horse.
Well, maybe, but anytime you win on the lead going long, you always have to figure that that's about as golden a trip as you're ever going to get. Even though he showed good speed to get over, could he sit second, third, or fourth and win? I don't know. So he still has a lot to prove as far as I'm concerned. And as far as having a lot to prove, we talked about Dennis's moment having a lot to prove. Well, unfortunately, he's proving it the wrong way because he wound up dead last, 10th of 10 at 6-5. This time he came out of the gate relatively cleanly, was between horses, not in a great spot the first part, but he just chucked it going into the far turn, wound up last. And at this stage of the game, I think Dennis's moment is, he's off my list. I can tell you What do you think? What does Dale think?
I've not heard a thing. I sent a text out to Dale this morning. They've had plenty of chances to go over him. I haven't heard anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
He's off the list. And by the way, I'll tell you what, he's not only off my list, he's off the pool three of the Kentucky Derby future wager, which is going to be implemented this week. Dennis's moment is out. According to Churchill Downs linebacker Mike Battaglia, who sets the morning line for this wager, which begins on Friday, the shortest price individual horse is Tis the Law. The Mutual Field, I think, is still the favorite. But others in there, Ete Indian and Nadala, both 10-1. Morning line, Authentic, Charlatan, Solvolante are 12-1. The new names for the pool three are Charlatan, Ete Indian, Major Fed, Modernist, Royal Act, Silver Prospector, Solvolante, Spa City, and Wells Bayou. Gone from the last pool, off the list, are Anno de Or, who ran so poorly at Fairgrounds, Dennis's Moment, Exalted, who got beat in a maiden race, Gold Street, Palm Springs, Premier Star, Silver State, Structure, and Violent City. So you can bet on that future book this week, this weekend, I think we'll have some changes because this weekend we have a major, major race here in California.
All right, well, let's talk San Felipe Stakes. Authentic versus Thousand Words versus Storm the Court, Siegel.
I haven't been terribly high on Storm the Court with regards to his prospects for the Triple Crown and the Derby. I do think he was a much deserved winner of the Eclipse Award for champion 2-year-old, but I didn't really think he was among the better in the group coming into this year. But I got to tell you, he worked great the other day,
and
maybe I should start giving Storm the Court more due, especially running against what looks to be a very, very important edition of the San Felipe coming up on a great card this Saturday at Santa Anita, which includes the Big Cap. But we're talking about Authentic, we're talking about Thousand Words, and Storm the Court. This race is going to be very critical with regards to stepping on into the final preps and then into the Derby itself. How do you see the race? Because, I mean, as well as
Honor AP.
Honor AP will be in there. Although I want to sit back and he hasn't been out since October. He's got a maiden win. He's got a lot to prove himself, although I think he's a good colt. But as good as Storm the Court worked the other day, how good, and this is the best I have ever seen him by many, Thousand Words finally looked like he might have woken up.
Thousand Words, I saw him on the track this morning just jogging off, and he looks amazing. So he's good. Bob pointing, he's like, there's Thousand Words. He's doing good. And he is doing good. And then he's like, I don't know about Authentic. He does everything so easily. Look, you haven't got to the bottom of Authentic. I think there's just natural raw talent with Authentic. Now, Storm the Court, I've never seen him work as good as he worked the other day with Shooter Shoot. You can find that on XBTV. This is going to be a really, really good race. It's also maybe going to be a little bit draw-dependent in a short field.
Well, you say that because you want to be where?
I mean, Thousand Words doesn't need to be anywhere.
Right.
If he gets a pocket trip like he got last time, he's going to be fine. He does have a little bit added to him that he gets to keep his jockey. Flavian Pratt jumping off of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner to ride Thousand Words for Bob Baffert. So Storm the Court will get Joao Rosario, which is fine as well. Rispoli worked him this past Monday, and he looked phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's a good race.
It is a really, that's going to be a good race. It could come down to any one of four, as you mentioned. John Sheriff's horse coming back, Honor AP, first time out, but training very well. I really think probably the Tampa Bay Derby, which also takes place on Saturday, and a great card at Tampa Bay as well, should come down to Solvolante and chance it. And I'm kind of torn because I really think that Solvolante is a better horse than people give him credit for. I think a lot of people thought he won his race in the Santa Fe was kind of like a setup, but I don't think so. I thought he won with that with the complete authority. But I think Chancet's a really good horse. And again, I don't know how far Chancet wants to run, but Chancet trains like a good horse. His form is good. He's got more speed than Solvolante. That's going to be an intriguing race on Saturday in the Tampa Bay. Do you have a preference?
If I'd have told you this time last year when we're doing this, hey, Jeff, Patrick Biancone is going to have not one, but two horses in your Triple Crown top 10, you'd have just thrown the book at me and said, you are absolutely crazy.
I would have said maybe the top 10 at Tampa Bay, but I'm stable there, but that's about it. Let's go over my top 10 as we look ahead, not only to look back and then look ahead as we get into the real meat of this Triple Crown prep season. I have elevated Tislelaw to number one.
Okay.
I looked at his resume. I saw what he did to Etienne Indian. He toyed with him. And Etienne Indian came back and franked the form. When Tislelaw beat him in the Holy Bowl, he did it with a triple-digit Bayard number. He improved his Bayard number by 10 points off his previous top. You know how impressive his champagne was. Tislelaw being reserved and trained up to the Florida Derby, which is the right thing to do for Barclay Tag.
I hope he gets a better trip than last time.
And I hope they let him run.
Yeah.
Because last time they... As my friend Julio Canani used to say, they had the piano in his mouth, you know, and they grabbed him and they choked him back. He still won. I think you got to put him number one, not only based on that race, but also his win in the Champagne. I have Authentic number two, who was number one, but we have not seen him since January 4th. If he deserves to be number one, he'll have a chance to prove it on Saturday. Number three is Nadal. I'm getting more and more confident that he will get a distance of ground. He's by blame out of a mare by pulpit. He, on pedigree, should stay. He's a very powerful, powerful tank, but he's training unbelievably well. He's headed to the Rebel Zoe. Number four, we have Max Fields, who probably will not make the Kentucky Derby, but he may make the Preakness, and this is my top 10 is for the Triple Crown, not just the Derby. He continues to make progress for Brandon Walsh, and his form is, he's undefeated, won the Breeders' Futurity by 5-1 last seen. Charlton's number five, another eye-opening work the other day. I don't know where he's going to run. Do you? Do you know where he's going to run?
I don't know. Bob's keeping his hands, it's close to his chest. He's okay. Not saying a word.
Well, maybe they can get an hour to two to fill for him.
Right.
I don't know about that. But he continues to impress after his 105 buyer earning maiden debut win here on February 16th. Sovalanti's number six. I look forward to seeing him try to repeat his Sam F. Davis win. I think that he has a very good chance of doing that at Tampa Bay. Thousand Words is number seven, but he's a closer number seven than he was last week. He's finally, I think, the light switch going on. It looks to me like he is training like a horse who now knows it's time to get serious. At the Indian, I have number eight, only because I just don't know whether he's a need-the-lead type or not. But his win in the Fountain of Youth was very highly rated. Chance at number nine, who I think could have maybe even won the Fountain of Youth, had his connections allowed him to stay in the field, outside post notwithstanding. And Governor Morris is number 10, who stormed the court, banging on the door.
Oh, he'll be in there next week.
Maybe he will, followed by Silver Prospector, Enforceable, Max Player, Independence Hall, Honor AP, who's down in the teens, but he can make a move up with a win on Saturday. It's a little deeper group than I originally thought it was going to be, Zoe. It's exciting times in the Derby division.
It really is. All right, we're talking Saturday races here at Santa Anita. We have the San Felipe. We have four stakes on the card. Going to be a great day of racing. And also the big cap, a couple of horses shipping in here. Got a chance to see them train this morning. Hofberg for Bill Mott's here. And also endorsed, maybe Kieran McLaughlin can go out with a bang and take down
that
the big cap.
That would be nice. Huh? Maybe he can win the big cap and change his mind and say, oh, I think I'll stay, I'll keep training here. I don't know. It's the big cap is really been impacted by these winter multi-million dollar races overseas. It's still a great race. It's going to be enjoyable. It's always great to see any major race run at the classic American distance of a mile and a quarter. But I'm getting a little worried because it hasn't been the same race in the last several years. And I just hope it keeps its grade one status because this year's group does not look like anywhere close to being a legitimate grade one type of field. I mean, there's a couple in there that'll be obviously tough, Gift Box and the rest, but it's not what it used to be. It's not the same big cap that I grew up watching. And that's kind of sad, but it's a victim of the times, I guess.
It's placing and it's money. And
that's all it is.
So yeah. We'll have to wait and see those million-dollar races. Congrats, by the way, to the Breeders' Cup to adding more money to their funds as well, adding $4 million to
got to keep up with the Joneses, right?
There. Yeah,
got to do that.
That'll get a big bump. Let's talk musical chairs and jockey agents.
Well, we talked about Kieran, you know, becoming a agent. Now, you're Ron Anderson, and you have a chance to pick up Johnny V. You got Umberto Ruspoli, who's doing great work out here. But I guess if a guy like Johnny V comes available, you take him, right? And he's already got Joel, and you can't take more than two riders, which... So who's going to get Umberto out here? I'm assuming he stays out here.
I don't know, because I think originally he was planning on going back with Ron.
Yes, he was.
Just because they've done so well together and he can do that well here. Why not give it a shot there? He's already established here. He could come back if he didn't like it. That wouldn't be a problem. So I don't know. I know his phone has been ringing off the hook, per se.
I would say that, you know, everybody's speculating that Scotty McClellan would be the one. Great agent, been around forever. One of the best.
It's going to be me, Siegel.
Well, can I be your assistant? And the reason why I say that is because I think Rispoli is such a good rider. He's going to be a top three rider on the circuit.
Regardless of who has him.
Absolutely. You know,
just can't mess up.
He's a really top rider. I don't think anybody kind of knew how good he was going to be until he showed up and started outriding everybody. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I guess, you know, Ron Anderson with Johnny V and Rosario, it's not bad to have the other guy's seconds if worst comes to worst.
That's all right.
But what about Angel Cordero now? I mean, that's a tough breakup, 25 years. What was the, you know, and Angel's not starving. I mean, he's got Franco. He's going to do fine. But, I mean, that's unusual to see a partnership like that go by the wayside.
The longest marriage in horse racing that I have ever seen. They've been together for 25 years, at least 25 years. And Johnny V, you know, maybe he's going to ride 5-7 more years. I think he wanted to try something different. I don't know the complete ins and outs, how long it's been going on. I'm sure Johnny had to talk to Todd about it. But one thing about it, you're not going to get any classier person than Johnny V. So however he went about it, it was the right way to do it.
We are out of time, and I wanted to get more in depth into the Racing Hall of Fame finalists, which were announced. So let's hold that over till next week.
Let's do it.
They're not going to vote them in until then anyway. We had six horses, four trainers, one jockey. I submitted your name, Zoe, but they rejected it. So.
I don't blame them. I would definitely take Cora Nakatani over myself.
But anyway, so we'll get into that more in depth because I want to talk about who belongs, who doesn't belong, and the Hall of Fame in general. So we'll hold, unless something crazy breaks next week and we have to push it to the side, you know. But we'll talk about the Racing Hall of Fame now, finalists. Next week, but this week we've got so much to watch and enjoy.
It's almost like a Super Saturday this weekend.
It is.
With all the graded stakes, not just for the three-year-olds, but all of them around the country, culminating with right here at the Great Race Place.
And again, Tampa Bay with a great card as well with their big program. So it's getting to the point of the year where every week's a big week somewhere. And we enjoy it, and we enjoy doing the show, and we will be paying close attention. Don't forget, everybody, to visit xbtv.com.
Yep.
All kinds of information, workouts, analysis, strategies, interviews. It's all there if you're playing the races this weekend. And so make that a habit, xbtv.com.
It's all there, and it's free. For Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Kaplan.